when I was a child, there was one part of the Sunday Eucharist that I look forward to more than any other. It was a moment when I was sure heaven and earth were united in praise of God. And it comes at the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer when the priest and the people greet one another and they exchange the dialogue, "The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord." This part of the prayer culminates in the singing of the Sanctus, the Holy, 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 that ancient hymn that Isaiah hears the angels sing in praise of God when Isaiah has the vision of God's throne. So each week, when I was a child, as the priest sang, "Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name," I believed it was so. Just as in Isaiah's vision, I was certain that heaven was singing with us, that the angels were joining their heavenly voices to our earthly voices. For me, there was no doubt but that heaven and earth were united in praise of God. Perhaps you think me an odd child. Maybe these were the meditations of a child with an overactive imagination. Maybe I was simply inspired by my childhood parish church with this amazing interior, which had large paintings full of angels, which had angels along the nave ceiling, cast in plaster, highlighted in gold, with light bulbs illuminating their crowns. But I also wonder if maybe I was open to the power that liturgy has to make us aware how heaven and earth unite, how liturgy has that power to open our hearts and our minds to things eternal, to create space in us for the Holy Spirit to inspire and direct. And maybe I was coming to learn that music has the potential to touch us in ways that words alone don't. In our epistle this morning, we are urged to be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Music has power to bring us outside ourselves, to open our hearts and our minds and our spirits, to put us in touch with realities that are far greater than we are. In music, there is the power to inspire and move, to stir human emotions, to put us in mind of eternity. Therefore, it's no surprise to me that music is essential to our experience as human beings. It's not surprising that music has been a uniting force in movements for justice, such as the civil rights movement, the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa. People have taken to the streets singing a song that brings the people together as a body, and a song that also challenges unjust power structures. But for many of us in our society, church is the only place we make music. It's the only time that we gather and sing with others as we sing the church's song in liturgy. We become a country that instead consumes music, that buys recordings, that moves through life with earbuds in place as we listen to music that professionals make, music that we buy. But the author of the letter to the Ephesians urges us to sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, and to do so not for our entertainment, not even for our edification. We are not exhorted to sing together even so that we can experience the presence of God. Rather, the call issued in this letter is that we sing because we are full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit's power, inspired by the promptings of the Spirit, that we are moved to give voice as a community in song, to sing our thanksgiving to God because of the activity of the Spirit. And so each Sunday, we gather in that thanksgiving. We gather to celebrate the Eucharist. The word Eucharist itself is from a Greek word meaning thanksgiving, to which is added a prefix, that EU, which means great. And so we gather not just for thanksgiving, but for the great thanksgiving. We gather filled with the utmost of gratitude. We gather Sunday by Sunday to give thanks to God, And we do so as a community brought together to worship God, to sing the songs the Spirit gives us, to use our voices to offer to God a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And certainly, we may be edified in doing this. We may experience the presence of God as we worship and as we sing. We may even really enjoy doing so, as I certainly do. But that's not the prime reason we do it. The prime reason is so that we can come together and to praise God, to be a community that in praising God is giving thanks to God for all that we have, for all that God has done, for all that God has given us. And so we're called to have a response of praise, of lifting our hearts and minds in praise of God, using the voices that God has given us, uniting our song together with the song of the angels. In addition to exhorting us to sing God's praises, our epistle this morning is a call to live lives that are intentional. We're called to be wise. We're reminded that time is limited, so make the most of it. Don't go through life like one drunk with senses dulled, unable to see what is before us. We are called by the author to be fully aware that evil abounds in this world, and to use what time we have been given to participate in Christ's work in the world. And so we're called to live as new creations in Christ, embracing the new life of the baptized, and to be focused on what builds up the body for ministry in the world. Through baptism, our reality is that we are Christ's body in the world, and the core of our identity is as a people called to gather each week to worship and to praise God. When we gather for the Eucharist, heaven and earth are united. God is in our midst, and we are oriented to God. Our hearts and our minds and our wills are shaped and transformed, moving us to be the community of people that God would have us be. And communities, essentially, Ephesians reminds us, our call is not as individuals. No matter how much we might be focused on doing good in the world, we are called into community, one with another. And so our participation in the Eucharist connects us to one another, to the world, to God, and beyond. As time and space are united, as heaven and earth come together, we find that encounter in the Eucharist. We are connected with those who are here with us now, with those who have gone before us, and with those who will come after us. Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa has articulated a theology called Ubuntu. And this teaching affirms that we recognize our humanity not by being an individual, but through our connection to one another. I'll let him explain it in his words. Archbishop Tutu says, "It is to say, my humanity is caught up, is inextricably bound up in yours. We belong in a bundle of life. We say a person is a person through other persons. It is not I think, therefore I am. It is rather I am human because I belong. I participate, I share. A person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, for he or she has a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs in a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished or treated as if they were less than they are." As followers of Jesus, we are called into community, into relationship with one another and with God. And this is not just because as humans we're social creatures, but rather God brings us into community to find how it is that we are called to be fully human, to learn who we are, which is known through living in meaningful and mutual relationships with one another. Today we continue reading from John's Gospel about Jesus, the bread of life. And this week Jesus teaches, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." Jesus is present to us even now, 2,000 years after his earthly ministry, present to us in the Eucharist, in his body and blood, in the signs of bread and wine. Jesus is the living bread, the bread that comes down from heaven, the heavenly food that is given to us. And this heavenly bread is nothing short of heaven come down to us, of God stooping down to us, stooping to be with us, of God coming to feed us. And the heavenly food that God gives us is nothing short of the very presence of God. We take God into our bodies, into our very beings. We consume the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Jesus. And in doing so, Jesus dwells within us. Jesus comes to abide with us, taken into our very being. And Jesus comes to transform us through the sacrament into his body. And so we are transformed into the community where we find the fullness of our identity and of our humanity. The community formed by the abiding presence of the Spirit, that we might sing God's praises, and that we might be a community of love confronting the evil of this world. And so this day we are invited to the heavenly banquet, to that moment outside human time when heaven stoops to earth, when angels lift their voices in praise of God, joining with our voices. And we are welcome to the banquet that God has set for us with the finest bread and wine, where there is room for all people, where everyone is welcome. And in this sacred meal, we find nothing less than our full humanity in community, in the body of Christ. We are fed with nothing less than the bread of heaven. This is the bread that fills us, that lifts us to the divine life, until we take our place with the heavenly host, with angels and with archangels, and where we will sing God's praises for eternity. Amen.